A new season of Sesame Street starts today on Wisconsin Public Television. The 35 episodes revolve around kindness, a theme that started last season. Here's Elmo earlier this year reflecting on his own kindness, talking to a Wall Street Journal reporter.
Elmo helped Zoe learn how to ride a scooter, and she was worried that she wouldn't know how. And Elmo said that if she keeps practicing, she could do it. And you know what? She did.
Right.
She finally did.
And how did it make you feel after your friend Zoe was able to ride that scooter?
Yeah, it made Elmo feel glad that she could do it.
Sesame Workshop consulted with the Center for Healthy Minds at UW-Madison about how to teach kindness on the show. Now the center is giving away its 12-week kindness curriculum to preschool teachers.
Chan McGeehee is the Learning and Development Program Lead at Healthy Minds Innovations. That's a nonprofit organization collaborating on this work with the Center for Healthy Minds at UW-Madison. Chan, welcome to Central Time.
It's great to be here.
So how did this collaboration come about between UW-Madison and Sesame Street?
Yeah, so Sesame Street was investigating kindness and turned to us as we have some experience as training students and teachers in kindness. So as that clip showed, kindness is something that we can actually train, we can get better in. So a couple of our experts, my colleagues, Lisa Thomas-Prince, Lori Gustafson, and Laura Pinger headed out to New York to meet with the crew and shared with them some of the insights that we've garnered from our research.
And what has your research shown about why kindness matters? Because it's, you know, I think of it as, in a way, a soft skill, being nice to other people. Obviously, it's important and it makes everyone's quality of life better. But are there other benefits?
Yeah, it's interesting. So from previous research, we know that kind of emotional intelligence is, in fact, a greater predictor of life outcomes, like financial outcomes, health outcomes, family outcomes, than IQ. And so if we can train in these things to improve our emotional quotient, then we're supporting kids in kind of furthering all sorts of outcomes we'd hope for them.
And academics, part of that.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, part of what happens oftentimes in schools, and my backgrounds as a public school teacher, is it's easy to kind of get over-focused on the academic side of things and forget that there's these soft skills that kind of create a foundation that allows students to have academic success as well as social success.
So can you tell us a little bit about what actually happened during the collaboration with Sesame Street? Was Elmo there? Did you get to meet Elmo?
I think Elmo was present. I've seen pictures with Big Bird. Uh-huh. And I know they were able to visit the set and kind of like relive some of their childhood dreams.
And when you presented what you learned, what was the Sesame Street shop most interested in?
I think they were most interested in this idea that these things like patience and kindness and generosity are qualities that we can train, that we can get better in, that we can practice. So for example, one of the things that Elmo does in this current season is he has like Elmo's kindness play-by-play. We kind of go back and reflect on a scene where something happened and kind of bring about those qualities of kindness again and really feel it as it was happening in the moment.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the curriculum. I think those of us who are parents or who have strong memories of our early years remember our parents saying things like, don't say anything. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And don't do something that would make you feel bad. And it's been these kind of simple aphorisms, you know, along with maybe a timeout or something. So how do you actually teach kindness?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the kindness curriculum is kind of has two kind of elements to it. It's a mindfulness-based pro-social curriculum. So the mindfulness-based part means it's happening in the present moment. We're aware of emotions, thoughts, sensations as they're happening. And when we're aware of what's happening, then we can choose how to respond. So for example, with 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, if there's a disagreement, in the curriculum we have what we call peace wands. And so you have a star listener and somebody who's speaking from the heart. And so if one child is speaking from the heart, then their job is just kind of share what's happening for them in an uninterrupted, kind of authentic way. And the star listener is just listening, fully receiving whatever it is that this other child has to say. So rather than say just listen or, you know, be kind, we actually kind of train in what does it look like when you're actually listening with a full heart to somebody else.
So how important is it to teach kindness rooted to the idea of being in the present moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think our curriculum takes the approach, since it's a mindfulness-based curriculum, that kind of the only moment we have that we can act in is this moment right now. And so by being aware of the sensations, emotions, thoughts that are happening right now, then maybe we can make wiser choices on how we'd like to interact with somebody. We know what's happening for us internally. And then also by kind of being aware of our own internal world, we become aware of, oh, this is probably true for other people. Other people experience these emotions, these thoughts. So our empathy, our compassion also goes up when we're more in tune with the current moment.
I saw or read a description of kids who are practicing breathing, sort of deep breathing with a little stone on their belly. Mm. How does that help?
Yeah, we call that belly buddies.
is the stone the belly buddy?
That is the buddy. So that's kind of an old saying too, right? People have said for a long time, you know, just kind of take a deep breath, right? You know, kind of to pause.
It's really hard to do that though if you don't know what it feels like.
It's so subtle to pay attention to the breath. So using like the stone on the belly or a stuffed animal on your belly, you can kind of just feel the belly kind of rise up and kind of let the belly fall down. And not only can this be a calm thing, but it starts to turn us toward what's happening in our internal experience. Sometimes we think about mindfulness as part of it is paying attention to what's happening on the outside, and part of it's paying attention to what's happening on the inside. So this belly buddy begins that process for us.
We're talking with Chad McGeehy right now, in Learning and Development Program Lead at Healthy Minds Innovations, which collaborates with the Center for Healthy Minds at UW-Madison, talking about the new kindness curriculum being offered by the center and also being picked up by Sesame Street. And Chad, there's some research out there that shows that a lot of parents fundamentally think of the world as an unkind place. Do you think that something like this helps address that problem on some level?
Yeah, I do think it, you know, it absolutely does. What comes to mind is kind of the phrase, you know, think globally and act locally. The world has been and probably will continue to have lots of challenges. So the real question then becomes, how are we working with it? How are we relating to it? And the opportunity we have is right now in this moment with the person that we're with or the family that we're going to be going home to or the neighbors that we have or the colleagues that we're with. What are we doing to engender the sort of relationships and communication here that can have kind of ripple effects that go out, you know, potentially across the globe?
And this curriculum is geared for preschoolers. Why preschool? What's going on then that makes it fertile?
Yeah, it's a great question. So one of the things is we know that this is a time in development where there's a lot of neuroplasticity that's happening, or we know that the brains of children at this age are changing dramatically and really quickly. And so if we can start to incorporate some of these ways of being with our own experience and training to be with our own experience in these ways, then the idea is that these kind of will follow the students throughout their, not only academic careers, but throughout the lifespan.
So you said the idea is, do we know if it's true? Does it last? Does it stick around and help kids down the road, maybe when they're grown-ups?
And this is one of the open research questions that still needs to be investigated. So we know that some of the impacts will last for children, but we need further studies to investigate this more.
And is there research that it helps the kid who is doing the kind act, not just maybe the child who needs that kindness? I guess that would be Zoe in the Zoe and Elmo scenario with the scooter. Elmo is nice to Zoe, encourages her to ride her bike. Does Elmo get benefits?
Yeah, that's one of the interesting things, especially about the mindfulness-based part, is when a child or any of us acts, you know, kindly or compassionately to somebody else, maybe our intention is to help this person or relieve their suffering or have them, you know, feel better in some sense. But if we're paying attention to our own experience, we realize that acting in these ways is also beneficial for us. We get a certain amount of joy and happiness from supporting and helping others.
Is there anyone who objects to this kind of approach, or at least maybe from another level, taking time out of a school day where it could be spent learning about letters and numbers and some more fundamental things, and instead you're working on something, you know, like a belly buddy or a kindness wand, that kind of thing? Is there pushback at all?
Yeah, even inside of me, I can feel it as a teacher. Something we think about all the time is instructional minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Every minute is precious in the classroom. But one of the things that we're finding, and teachers are consistently reporting this, is by taking the time to do belly buddies or do some of these other practices, that they actually gain time back. Classroom management changes in the classroom where they don't have to spend as much time maybe sorting out some of the challenges and the ramifications of what happens. So, for example, students coming back from recess. A lot can happen or coming back from lunch. And so if there's some practices we do, they can help children settle, kind of work with whatever happened, you know, at these other times, then as teachers, we can move back to instruction more quickly.
Now, you said there's a lot of neuroplasticity in the preschool age, which might make this a really fertile time to practice kindness curriculum. But I think about also what we hear about, for instance, cyberbullying and the difficulties in middle school and high school. Is there any evidence, or are you looking at all at later years when it can be even more difficult for kids?
Yeah, we are looking at later years and hope to expand this work kind of across K-12. And part of the work that we're doing is collaborating with all of the school districts whom we are partnering with so that this isn't just kind of a research study that happens in isolation, but can start to inform a culture so that, you know, all children and teachers that are in this environment, including parents, if we start to add parents into the mix and support them in exploring these practices, then we can have even more impact.
And where would you like to see this go maybe 10 years from now? What would this curriculum look like?
Yeah, I think right now what we'd like to do is get this curriculum in the hands of as many teachers, educators, parents, caregivers as possible, and support these people in exploring these practices for themselves and the children in their lives, so that when we start to think about what's important in educating our children alongside with, you know, reading, writing, and math, we're thinking about kindness, patience, you know, and balance.
Chad, thank you so much for coming in and telling us about it.
My pleasure.
We were talking there with Chad McGeehy, the Learning and Development Program Lead at Healthy Minds Innovations, which collaborates with the Center for Healthy Minds at UW-Madison.
And you can catch the debut episode of Sesame Street's 47th season on Wisconsin Public Television, a rebroadcast tomorrow at 11, and then new episodes of Sesame Street air weekdays at 10:30 a.m. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.
K is for kindness, a simple word, it's true. But it's amazing what a word can do, amazing what a word can do. When you help someone in need,
that's kindness.
When you plan.